This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Today is the 141st birthday of a Nobel Prize winner who is very well known to baby boomers, but perhaps less well known to later generations. Dr. Albert Schweitzer, physician, philosopher, theologian, organist, humanitarian, and yet someone whose legacy is not without controversy. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor Dr. Howard Markel is with us now. So we dig into the life of one of medicine's great humanitarians. And this was not someone who hid his light under a bushel, because Albert Schweitzer and his works were very, very well known in the mid-20th century, weren't they?
Absolutely. If you were a kid growing up in the 1960s, this is how gendered it was. So every little girl in first or second grade would be assigned Helen Keller's My Life. Big, thick book. It seemed that way. And every boy would be assigned Out of My Life in Thought, which was Albert Schweitzer's autobiography. And every mother wished her child would become a Dr. Schweitzer.
So he was a theologian first and then a physician?
Yes. He was the son of a Lutheran minister, grew up in Alsace-Lorraine, which is sometimes German, sometimes French. He was German. And he lived in that area, and he studied theology and was quite accomplished. He wrote many, many theological books. And at the age of about 31, he took a calling, I should say, from the Paris Society of Missionaries. And they wanted doctors. They wanted physicians to go down to Africa. Now, remember, this is the era of imperialism and colonialism. So Gabon, where Schweitzer later founded his hospital, was called French Equatorial Africa. But what's so fascinating is at 31, he decided to go to medical school. Now, his parents wanted him to stay in the ministry, be a theologian. It's the family business. But he slogged through. He met a woman and married her. She was the daughter of a professor of history. She became a nurse and a nurse anesthetist. And in 1913, they took sail for Gabon and they founded their hospital in Lambrine, a very tiny place that over the years became enormous and world famous.
And they paid their own way. They really did believe this.
They followed that Matthew principle, Book of Matthew, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. And they went down to do just that.
And tell us about those early years. I'm wondering, you know, what kinds of things he treated and how did they live?
Well, it must have been awful. I mean, there was all these remarkably bad tropical diseases, sleeping sickness, yellow fever, malaria, as well as regular things that people get. Mm-hmm. And I love this when I was reading. Many people came in with bites, with wounds from encounters with wild animals. So it was quite the practice. And of course, they also treated the great biblical disease, leprosy. And Dr. Schweitzer and his wife founded a leprosarium or a leper colony, which was still rather rampant in Africa and elsewhere at that time.
And if they were the first there, they must have had to put up with a lot of hardship while they were getting things established, just personal and their
sure.
living conditions.
I mean, the hospital, we call it a hospital. We would never recognize it. It was a hut, and they lived in a tent. And French Equatorial Africa had terrible weather. You know, it got very cold at night. There were monsoons and rainstorms, and it got terribly hot and steamy during the day. So it was a hard life for the people who lived there and certainly for the Schweitzers.
But yet the hospital ultimately grew enormously through the years to becoming incredibly significant.
Well, that's true. And what Dr. Schweitzer was particularly good at was giving lectures. He was a rousing speaker. He went to Europe quite a bit. He also, as you mentioned, was quite an organist. He was a world-class organist, and he was particularly good at playing Bach, the works of Bach. And he would give these concerts and speeches and raise money for his hospital back in Africa. And the place just grew by leaps and bounds over the 50 or 60 years he had it.
Now, if you took a two-sided measuring scale and you put Dr. Schweitzer's work as a physician, a theologian, and a philosopher in one pan, and then some of the attitudes and comments that he made, because he was a person of his time, they reek of paternalism, they reek of racism, really, on the other.
Yeah.
How do they measure up?
Oh, this is the historian's dilemma. Yeah. When you find people who are put on a pedestal and you realize they were all too human.
What kinds of things do
you say? Well, Dr. Schweitzer had this philosophy of reverence for life. Let's start with that. So everybody was important. Every life was important. And yet he said terrible things that we would be offended by. For example, the African is my brother, but he's my little brother. Or he made comments like, well, God put fruit on the trees, but the Africans are so lazy, I'm not worried that they'll pick too much fruit. And it goes on and on. Things that we just would not tolerate today. And it complicates the memory of this man. And yet he did grow up and live in an era of paternalism, of colonialism. They were missionaries who were bringing Christianity to people who knew not of Christianity at all. So it was quite a different story when you take these complexities, and it makes him a full and complex man, as all of us are. As Scott Fitzgerald used to say, the sign of a first-class mind is to keep two different ideas in your head at the same time. And so it's disappointing. And yet Dr. Schweitzer did go to an area where no one would go, and he did provide health care for a number of people who needed it.
And I think that one might be able to draw a pretty direct connection between Dr. Schweitzer's work of the first half of the 20th century and that done by Doctors Without Borders, which was founded in 1971.
Yeah, I mean, it's really all part of a long spectrum. And what we hope we've learned today with groups like that is not to make those paternalistic comments. It's not the comments, it's the attitude and the actions that may have resulted. That said, he was a remarkable man. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952 because when you think of the anti-nuke movement, you think of Albert Einstein and Bertrand Russell, but it was Schweitzer who was the major speaker, and he gave wonderful lectures about the problems of atomic bombs. And this was in the late 40s and early 50s when the world was awakening to what did America do to Hiroshima and Nagasaki and what it might do or other countries might do with these terrible weapons. So he founded or was part of the founding of the anti-nuclear movement.
University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor Dr. Howard Markel marking the 141st anniversary of the birth of Dr. Albert Schweitzer. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.